Two letters and a card lay on the hall floor. He stopped and gathered them. Mrs. Marion Bloom. His quick heart slowed at once. Bold hand. Mrs. Marion.
Poldy!
Entering the bedroom, he half closed his eyes and walked through warm yellow twilight towards her tousled head.
Who are the letters for?
He looked at them. Mullingar. Millie.
A letter for me from Millie, he said carefully, and a card to you and a letter for you.
He laid her card and letter on the twill bedspread near the curve of her knees.
Do you want the blind up?
Letting the blind up by gentle tugs halfway, his backward eyes saw her glance at the letter and tuck it under her pillow.
That do?
He asked, turning. She was reading the card, propped on her elbow.
She got the things.
He waited till she had laid the card aside and curled herself back slowly with a snug sigh.
Hurry up with that tea. I'm parched.
The kettle is boiling, he said.
But he delayed to clear the chair, her striped petticoat, tossed soiled linen, and lifted all in an armful onto the foot of the bed. As he went down the kitchen stairs, she called.
Poldy!
What?
Scald the teapot.
On the boil, sure enough, a plume of steam from the spout. He scalded and rinsed out the teapot, and put in 4 full spoons of tea, tilting the kettle then to let the water flow in. Having set it to draw, he took off the kettle and crushed the pan flat on the live coals and watched the lump of butter slide and melt. While he unwrapped the kidney, the cat mewed hungrily against him. Give her too much meat, she won't mouse. Say they won't eat pork. Kosher. Here. He let the blood-smeared paper fall to her and dropped the kidney amid the sizzling butter sauce. Pepper. He sprinkled it through his fingers, ring-wise, from the chipped egg cup. Then he slit open his letter, glancing down the page and over. Thanks, Newtown, Mr. Cochran, Lock Owl Picnic, Young Student, Blazes Boylan's, Seaside Girls. The tea was drawn. He filled his own moustache cup, Sham Crown Derby, smiling. Silly Millie's birthday gift. Only 5 she was then. No, wait, 4. I gave her the amberoid necklace she broke, putting pieces of folded brown paper in the letterbox for her. He smiled, pouring. He prodded a fork into the kidney and slapped it over, then fitted the teapot on the tray. It hump-bumped as he took it up. Everything on it, bread and butter, 4, sugar spoon, her cream, yes. He carried it upstairs, his thumb hooked in the teapot handle. Nudging the door open with his knee, he carried the tray in and set it on the chair by the bedhead.
What a time you were!
She set the brasses jingling as she raised herself briskly, an elbow on the pillow. He looked calmly down on her bulk and between her large, soft bubs, sloping within her nightdress, like a she-goat's udder. The warmth of her couched body rose on the air, mingling with the fragrance of the tea she poured. A strip of torn envelope peeped from under the dimpled pillow. In the act of going, he stayed to straighten the bedspread.
Who was the letter from?
Bold hand. Marion.
Oh, Boylan. He's bringing the programme.
What are you singing?
La Chidarem with J.C. Doyle and Love's Old Sweet Song.
Her full lips, drinking, smiled. Rather stale smell that incense leaves next day, like foul flower water.
Would you like the window open a little?
She doubled a slice of bread into her mouth, asking,
What time is the funeral?
11, I think. I didn't see the paper.
Following the pointing of her finger, he took up a leg of her soiled drawers from the bed. No? Then a twisted grey garter looped round a stocking, rumpled shiny sole.
No, that book.
Other stocking. Her petticoat.
It must have fell down.
He felt here and there. Volio in onvere. I wonder if she pronounces that right. Volio. Not in the bed, it must have slid down. He stopped and lifted the valance. The book, fallen, sprawled against the bulge of the orange-keyed chamber pot.
Show here. I put a mark on it. There's a word I wanted to ask you.
She swallowed a draught of tea from her cup, held by Nut Handle, and having wiped her fingertips smartly on the blanket, began to search the text with the hairpin till she reached the word.
Met him what?
Here. What does that mean?
He leaned downwards and read near her polished thumbnail,
Metempsychosis.
Yes. Who's he when he's at home?
Metempsychosis. It's Greek, from the Greek. That means the transmigration of souls.
Oh, rocks. Tell us in plain words.
He smiled, glancing askance at her mocking eye. Same young eyes. The first night after the charades, Dolphin's Barn. He turned over the smudged pages. Ruby, the pride of the ring. Hello. Illustration. Fierce Italian with carriage whip. Must be Ruby, pride of the... on the floor, naked. Sheet kindly lent. The monster of Maffei desisted and flung his victim from him with an oath. Cruelty behind it all. Doped animals. Trapeze at hanglers. Had to look the other way. Mob gaping. Break your neck and we break our sides. Families of them. Born them young, so they metempsychosis. That we live after death, our souls. That a man's soul, after he dies. Dignam's soul.
Did you finish it?
Yes. There's nothing smutty in it. Is she in love with the first fellow all the time?
Never read it. Do you want another?
Yes. Get another of Paul de Kock. Nice name he has.
She poured more tea into her cup, watching it flow sideways. Must get that Capel Street library book renewed, or the right to carry my guarantor. Reincarnation, that's the word.
Some people believe that we go on living in another body after death, that we live before. They call it reincarnation. That we all lived before on the earth thousands of years ago, or some other planet. They say we've forgotten it. Some say they remember their past lives.
The sluggish cream wound curling spirals through her tea. Better reminder of that word, metempsychosis. An example would be better. An example. The bath of the nymph over the bed. Given away with the Easter number of photo bits. Splendid masterpiece in art colours. Tea before you put milk in. Not unlike her, with her hair down. Slimmer. 3 and 6 I gave for the frame. She said it would look nice over the bed. Naked nymphs. Greece. And, for instance, all the people that lived then. He turned the pages back.
Metempsychosis is what the ancient Greeks called it. They used to believe you could be changed into an animal or a tree, for instance. What they call nymphs, for example.
Her spoon ceased to stir up the sugar. She gazed straight before her, inhaling through her arched nostrils.
There's a smell of burn. Did you leave anything on the fire?
Oh, the kidney, he cried suddenly. He fitted the book roughly into his inner pocket and, stubbing his toe against the broken commode, hurried out towards the smell, stepping hastily down the stairs with a flurried stork's legs. Pungent smoke shot up in an angry jet from a side of the pan. By prodding a prong of the fork under the kidney, he detached it and turned a turtle on its back. That's only a little burned. He tossed it off the pan onto a plate and let the scanty brown gravy trickle over it. Cup of tea now. He sat down, cut and buttered a slice of loaf. He shored away the burned flesh and flung it to the cat. Then he put a forkful into his mouth, chewing with discernment the toothsome, pliant meat. Done to a turn. A mouthful of tea. Then he cut away dies of bread, sopped one in the gravy, and put it in his mouth. What was that about some young student and a picnic? He creased out the letter at his side, reading it slowly as he chewed, sopping another die of bread in the gravy, and raising it to his mouth.